these graduates. I know it means so much to them. This is something that they'll remember for the rest of their lives. You know, I was thinking about to when I graduated, which, I mean, I don't look like I have graduated that long ago. It wasn't that long ago. And it is. It's something that you remember. It's something that you look back upon. It's something I'm sure many of you could tell stories or even think back to when you graduated. And it is a big deal. And this is a big accomplishment. And so I thank you for the opportunity to give you this charge, this sermon tonight. There are way higher caliber of preachers and pastors in this room this evening, so it is an honor that you guys would have me do this tonight. I know many of you probably didn't bring your Bible, but if you did, or Philip will have it on the screen, I'm sure. We're going to be in Joshua chapter number 17 tonight, Joshua chapter 17. I'm going to read a couple verses, and then we're going to pray again together, and then we'll jump right in. Joshua chapter 17, look down at verse number 17. The Bible says, "And Joshua spake unto the house of Joseph, even to Ephraim and to Manasseh, saying, Thou art a great people, and hast great power. Thou shalt not have one lot only, but the mountain shall be thine, for it is a wood, and thou shalt cut it down, and the outgoing of it shall be thine, for thou shalt drive out the Canaanites, though they have iron chariots, and though they be strong." I want to preach a message to you just briefly this evening. I want to give you a charge and a challenge entitled, "You Can Do It." Can we pray together? Lord, we love you. And God, we're here tonight, Lord, as we celebrate a big accomplishment, Lord, in the life of these young people. And God, I pray, Lord, as you have, they've heard messages, they've heard teaching. Lord, I've walked past them many days as Melanie's going over Bible verses and scriptures and Bible teaching with them. Lord, they've heard all of that. And Lord, now we celebrate the culmination of it as they walk across this stage here in a few moments and as they graduate from high school. And Lord, I pray that you bless them on their journey. And God, we'll give you all the praise and glory for it, as it is in your beautiful name, I pray. Amen. High school is a strange arena, isn't it? Right? Like if you think about high school, it's one of the only times in life that, for the most part, all things are equal. For the most part. So let me explain. So I remember being in high school, and you sit in high school, and whether it's a chemistry class or a math class or an English class, and everything's pretty equal. Like, you all have the same homework assignments. You all have the same lessons, right? We all have to raise our, at least when I was there, y'all had to raise your hand if you wanted to go to the bathroom, right? We would all, you know, get in trouble if we had we didn't have smartphones, we had cell phones. It was different. They weren't smart. They were just cellular phones. And if you were really smart, you had T9 text. And if some of y'all remember that, some of you don't. Some of you are like, "We didn't have a cell phone. What's a cell phone?" Yeah, so we had it. We put it in your pocket and you could text. If you got caught, the rules were all the same, right? It was pretty equal playing field for us. Some of us, you know, went off. Some of the friends that they went off to join the military, or they went off to be nurses, or they went to university for 4 years, or they went to community college. Some of them went home and lived with mom and dad and just played Xbox, and we're hoping that doesn't happen for you guys. Right. One big nerd right here. I went off to Bible college because I wanted to be a missionary, and that's kind of the journey that I went on. But right, so when you're in high school, though, you're all kind of like in here. You know, I've been in Statesville for a long time, if I'm going to use an archery illustration, but you're kind of all like, which I don't even know if this is the proper, is this it? No? No, okay. So you're all kind of like arrows knocked in a bow. I don't even know. I don't mess up. You're all kind of like arrows, right? Right? There's a lot of potential energy. That's what I'm getting at. There's a lot of potential energy, right? We might have different trajectories, but there's the same potential, right? There's the same potential, right? We all have said the same potential, and this is when you guys got to answer. So when that arrow is released, that potential energy turns into kinetic energy. Did you? Good job. Kinetic energy, right? And it goes. I'm gonna turn this off. Tonight, I don't want to talk to you as a student. I don't want to talk to you, right? Like, chemistry's over. No more algebra, no more math, no more English lessons. But tonight I want to just speak to you. I want to speak to all of us. I speak to myself as followers of Jesus. And as we celebrate this graduation, as we look forward to the future, I want you to know that you not only possess incredible potential as a human being. You not only possess amazing potential as an American, but you possess in Christ the potential and power to reach out and claim the victories and blessings that he's laid out for you.
And so tonight, briefly, as we just kind of look at this story in Joshua 17, I want us to notice three truths on possessing the power of God in our daily lives. And trust me, I believe in you. We all believe in you that you can do it. Number one, this in the evening, I want you to notice the wood country. The wood country. I'll explain. It sounds weird. There are victories and blessings God has laid out for you to claim. So in our passage right now, the children of Israel, they've already crossed over Jordan. You guys remember the story. I've heard the lessons that you've done. Some of you have heard me preach through this, and we know they've traveled. They've left Egypt. They've traveled through the wilderness, and Moses said goodbye, and Joshua led them over Jordan. They went into the promised land. Remember the first battle of Jericho, and they walk around. The seventh time, the walls came tumbling down. They go on to Ai, and the next battle, the next battle, the next battle. And the book of Joshua, that first half, is all about them conquering city after city. And then you get to Joshua 15, 14, 15, 16, and they begin to divide up the land, right? They've conquered the land. God's allowed them to claim these cities, and now it's time for them to divide up the land. And we know, of course, that there's 12 tribes of Israel. However, we also know, there's a little bit of math here, we also know that the Levites, they didn't get an inheritance of land, so that only leaves us with 11 tribes. Well, the tribe of Joseph, that was split into two tribes, Ephraim and Manasseh. And Ephraim has already, in chapter 16, they've claimed some of their land. And now in chapter 17, we see Ephraim and Manasseh coming to Joshua. And that's where we're at. Look down or look at the screen at verse number. We'll start at verse number 10 of Joshua 17. It says, southward it was Ephraim's, and northward it was Manasseh's. And the sea is his border, and they met together in Asher on the north and in Issachar on the east. And Manasseh had an Issachar and an Asher and Beth Shean and her towns and Ibleam and her towns and the inhabitants of Dor and her towns. And the inhabitants of Endor and her towns, and the inhabitants of Tanakh and her towns, and the inhabitants of Megiddo and her towns, even three countries. And catch this is verse 12. Yet the children of Manasseh could not drive out the inhabitants of those cities, but the Canaanites would dwell in that land. Yet it came to pass when the children of Israel were waxing strong, they put the Canaanites to tribute, but did not utterly drive them out. And the children of Joseph spake unto Joshua, saying, why hast thou given me but one lot and one portion to inherit, seeing I am a great people? For as much as the Lord hath blessed me hitherto, verse 15 says, and Joshua answered them, if thou be a great people, then get thee up to the wood country, and cut down for thyself there in the land of the Perizzites and of the giant and of the giants, if Mount Ephraim be too narrow for thee. We see now Ephraim and Manasseh, they've been given their portion, they've been given their lot. And Ephraim and Manasseh, these two tribes, the children of Joseph, they come together and they say, yo, we ain't got enough land, right? And we're a big tribe, and we need more land to spread out. We need more room for our cities, for our families, for our flocks, for our herds, for our gardens. We need more room. And they go to Joshua, and they say, hey, Joshua, we need more room. The room that you've given us for inheritance isn't enough. And I personally believe, this is Stuart, I personally believe that they went to Joshua, because Joshua, if you remember, was of the tribe of Joseph. I believe they're going to Joshua saying, hey, Joshua, man, we family, bro. Like, this is our tribe. Like, can you hook us up with some more land? Hey, Joshua, give us some more land that all of the nation of Israel has conquered. We don't want to go and do it ourselves. Hey, Joshua, will you help us out with this? Joshua says, man, you guys are ready to boast how big and great you are. If you're so big and bad, if you're such a big tribe, why don't you guys go and claim that land yourself? He says, go to the wood country. This was a forest, the vast, if you've ever been in church, just looked at those maps in the back because you're listening really well and you're looking at those maps in the back or whatever. Right, this is west of the Jordan River. This is what would be called if you pay attention to the news, this is the occupied West Bank that's currently occupied by Israel, and rightfully so. This is that forest in the central part of Israel. He says, if you are as powerful as you say you are, then go and take it. It's yours. Make it your home. Now that you're graduating high school, you are going to hear for the next 10 to 20 years, at least, probably. I've heard it for 10 years. Back when I was in high school, I could, and then fill in the blank, right? I went to a Bible college, and it was filled with a bunch of Christian school kids and homeschool kids, which is great. That's what you got, and I love it. But I just remember, and I was in public school, and I just remember talking to them, and they'd be like, man, I got this scholarship for this D1 school, and they would go, and they would try out for basketball practice, or they would go, man, I used to lift four plates in the gym. But I was like, bro, you're from, like, Wichita, man. There's, like, seven people, you know, or whatever. Like, it would be, like, this wild, like, you know, whatever. And so, but I remember, like, back when I was in high school, well, I could do this. And most of it was all talk. You probably know people like this, right? Sometimes they say they're all bark, but no bite. You see, we understand that talk is cheap, but actions are where the rubber meets the road. And I believe that that's what we're seeing in this text today. These tribes have gone to Joseph, they say, to Joshua, and say, hey, we're too big and this land is too small. And Joshua says, hey, look, if you're so big, hey, go claim the land for yourself. Can I tell you tonight that human beings haven't changed a whole lot over the past few thousand years or however long ago this passage was written? Right, Christians, if you're a follower of Jesus and you're like, we're not that different. Right, a lot of times God has laid out victories, he's laid out blessings, he's laid out land for us to claim, but so many of us as Christians are all bark, but no bite. And I want you guys to look right at me. And God has victories, and he has blessings in your future. He has blessings, he has victories, he has victories over the things that you struggle with right now. Whatever it is, for all of us in here tonight, under the sound of my voice, hey, God has victories for us, he has blessings for us. He wants us to have victory over our anger. Right? He wants us to have victory over our impatience. Man, he wants us to have victory over our passivity of life. Man, God has blessings, he has victories that he wants for us to claim. We sing the songs, Victory in Jesus, or some of us still do, I don't know, Victory in Jesus, right? But I ask you tonight, where are those victories? And we say, hey, God, I have victory. Right? We say that we have all of these things, but my question to you as we continue through this story tonight is, where are we? We seem to have it all put together. We come to church, we sit here, we got our suit coat on, we look the part. We don't do this, we don't go there, we don't do all of these things. But what I want to know for you is, hey, what are you doing? Because what they were saying is, hey, Joshua, we don't have enough room. Hey, Joshua, we don't have enough this and we don't have enough that. And Joshua says, then go do something about it. And God has victories and blessings that he wants you to reach out and claim. But let's continue in our story. I want you to notice with me, not only the wood country, but I want you to notice with me, secondly, the woeful complaint. And don't make fun of my illustration, of my alliteration. So the woeful complaint. Number two, there will be a natural tendency to complain and walk away from the obstacles surrounding those victories. Look down at verse number 16 or see it on the screen. It says, and the children of Joseph said, that hill is not enough for us. And all the Canaanites that dwell in the land of the valley have chariots of iron, both they who are of Beth-shean and her towns and they who are of the valley of Jezreel. Joseph respond back saying, but Joshua, that hill you're giving us, it's not big enough, this land. And yes, you've given us this mountain, but of course we can't put our sheep and our goats or whatever other animals they had on the mountain. We can't. We need that valley. We need that forest. But Joshua, there's Canaanites there. But Joshua, there's valley. They have chariots of iron. There's a lot of people in the Jezreel Valley. There's a lot going on there, Joshua. Can't you just give us something? If you remember Joshua, the whole book was about the entire nation, right? All 11 tribes going through and wiping out land, conquering city after city after city. And now Joshua's saying, hey, the conquering's over. The conquest is over. Now it's up to you guys to go and claim this land. And they say, Joshua, help us out. Back when I was in high school, see, I'll be the first one to say it. Back when I was in high school, I had some friends who were wrestlers. Listen, I already did it. Look, I had one friend who was a wrestler. See, the stories, they just grow over the years. It wasn't a bunch of friends. It was one friend. His name was David Coleman, and he was a wrestler, and he was always trying to get me to come and be on the wrestling team. He's like, man, you'd really like it. You'd really enjoy it. Come wrestle with us. Which, first of all, if you've ever watched wrestling, I don't want any part of that. Like, the first time I saw, like, what they were wearing and all that, it just kind of, I don't know. It's just not, I'm just not my thing. But he took me back into, he's like, come on, just come check out the practice or whatever. And we go, we're at my Airport High School in West Columbia, South Carolina. And we go back into this workout room. And I'm kid you not, there's like three dudes and they got trash bags that they cut a hole in, like a ghetto poncho, right? Or whatever. They got this trash bag over them and they're pedaling on a bicycle, like a stationary bike, right? For you nice people, it's like a Peloton, but it wasn't because this was a public school. And so they're pedaling, and I was like, bro, what are these guys doing? They're like, man, they're trying to cut weight. They haven't eaten in 3 days, and they're trying to lose weight. I was like, fellas, this ain't for me. I'm not doing this, right? This happens a lot in life, doesn't it? You get excited about something. Honestly, I was kind of excited. I was like, man, I learned how to fight. And then I realized that they're like rolling around the floor together. You know, I was like, that's not the kind of fight I want to do. But so, and... Anyways, I was excited, and then I saw, man, I'm not starving myself. I'm definitely not putting a trash bag over me, riding on those stationary bike. I don't want that in my life. It's honestly kind of like having kids, right? You get really excited. Then you have, Chelsea's like, she hates me. She's in the back. Right, we got three kids. And then, but it is, right? You get excited about it, then you're like, oh my goodness, what did I get myself into? Like, this is wild, right? I'll be 42 when my kids are sitting. I'm already counting it down. There's a time that they'll be, their parents are so excited right now. I know Caitlin's is. I'm just kidding. So, in our text, listen, back to the Bible. In Manasseh, they're crying out for more land, right? What does Joshua says? Hey, go take the mountains, take the wood country. And then they see how difficult it is. They balk at it, right? They stiff arm it. They say, yeah, we need more land. Land's a big thing. I mean, I want more land, right? And right now, 2021, I want more land. I don't want to fight nobody for it. And that's what they, I don't want to fight anybody for it. Hey, we need this. But when they saw the obstacles surrounding it, they walked away from it. And so as we examine ourselves, not just the graduates, but all of us in here tonight, as we examine ourselves in the mirror of God's word, the question that's posed to us is, I wonder how many of us are doing the exact same thing in our fellowship, if that's a word of Jesus, right? When God says, hey, I have a victory over here for you, but there's a mountain that you're going to have to cross over. I have blessings over here, but there may be a valley that you go through. Hey, I have this over here for you, for your family and for your spouse and for your marriage and for your kids. But there's some obstacles that are surrounding it, and we see how hard it is. You say, no, that's not for me. And so what I tell you tonight, listen, there are going to be obstacles. It's not easy following Jesus. And it's not easy to come to church. And it's not easy to get up and go to work every day. It's not easy to, listen, it's not easy to stay pure till you're married. That's hard. But our life is about doing hard things. And Christ said to take up your cross and follow after him. We were promised that it was going to be hard, but we also promised that his yoke is easy and his burden is light. I think about when David sinned in numbering the people at the end of 2 Samuel. Remember? David, he had numbered them. This was the second great sin of his life, and he numbered all the people, and God, he actually gave him, you can go read it, but anyways, David had sinned, and he went, and he's like, I need to sacrifice to God, and so he goes to Arana, the Jebusites field, and Arana, or however you say his name, he's like, hey, let me give you this, David. Remember what David said? I wrote it down, so I'll read it for you, because I can't remember that well. He says, David said this, nay, but I will surely buy it of thee at a price. Neither will I offer burnt offerings unto the Lord, my God, of that which doth cost me nothing. You see, there will be obstacles surrounding the victories and blessings that God is waiting for us to claim, and they may cost us something. They may require us to do something difficult, but I want to remind you that those victories cost our Savior everything. Those blessings, every victory God has waiting for us is a direct result of the grace and the blood and the mercy that was shed on the cross of Calvary for you and for me. Number one this evening, and we're almost done, I promise. Number one, we see the wooded country. There are victories and blessings God has for you to claim. Number two, the woeful complaint. There's a natural tendency to stiff arm and to want to walk away from those victories and those blessings and the good things and God's grace that he has for you because of the obstacles that are surrounding. But I want you to notice with me, thirdly and finally, as we conclude with the verses we started with, the willful confidence. There will be power waiting for the believer who's willing to reach out and claim it. Verse 17 says, and Joshua spake unto the house of Joseph. So he calls them all together. Even to Ephraim and to Manasseh, saying, thou art a great people. You know, you are a great people and has great power. Thou shalt not have one lot only, but the mountain shall be thine. For it is a wood, and thou shalt cut it down, and the outgoings of it shall be thine. For thou shalt drive out the Canaanites, though they have iron chariots, and though they be strong. Joshua listens to their complaint, and like a father would to his children, he gathers the entire tribe, both Ephraim and Manasseh, the entire children of Joseph together. He says, hey, you are a great people. He says, you're a big people. And he says, you do have the power to do this. God has blessed you, house of Joseph. You are a great people with great power, and you're strong enough to take more land. Joshua chapter 17 gives the people a willful confidence. And so let me give you a willful confidence tonight by reminding you that you are indwelt by the third part of the triune God. That the moment that you accepted Christ at salvation, you were sealed with the earnest of the Spirit, and you have the power of the Holy Spirit inside of me. You possess the power to claim the victory and receive the blessing God has waiting for you. The children of Israel were looking at all the obstacles. They were looking at all the people, but they were forgetting about the very God who spoke those obstacles, who spoke those people into existence. The same God who gave them the power to overcome. And Joshua says, you're a great people. You have great power, and you'll claim that land. Jesus and Paul later tells us the same thing in the New Testament. And so will you listen to them? Will we listen to them? When the Word of God says, hey, you are a great people. Hey, you are followers of me, and I've given you all authority, all power to do what I've told you to do. When you hear the cry of Scripture that we are more than conquerors in Christ Jesus, that if God be for us, who can be against us? Will you listen to them? Number one, we saw the wood country. Hey, there are victories and blessings. Don't ever forget that. There are. They are there for you. Number two, there's obstacles, and your natural tendency, the bent of man, but there's power for those who want to reach out and claim them. Graduating high school is a big deal, and we all hope, that's our hope for you, is that you're now entering into the world of adulthood. And I've preached to you tonight, and I've preached to a couple of you for many years here. Pastor Jake's preached to you. You've been in Sunday school. You've heard Bible teaching. Your parents have poured into you. They've prayed with you at night. They've told you Bible lessons as you were a kid growing up. People have prayed for you. People have thought about you. And Sunday school lessons and sermons and small groups, they're great and all, but in and of themselves, they don't possess the same power that you possess as a believer in Jesus. The power in any message, the power in any lesson, the power in graduating, it all falls on deaf ears if those decisions, if those messages, if this that we've heard is not acted upon. You possess the potential and power in Christ to claim the victories, to claim the blessings that He has sovereignly laid out for you. Everyone's cheering for you. And I believe that if Joshua were here tonight, he'd be telling you guys the same thing that we're telling you. You can do it. You can do it. Can we pray together?